Welcome to Vine Church. Great to have you here with us. We are in our third week of our sermon series that we're calling Superheroes. And this morning you're in for a treat because Kimberly Martin, our worship director here at Vine Church, is going to be here. She's going to be talking a little bit about Enoch and how Enoch was a superhero of faith in Hebrews and in the Old Testament. And sharing also about her own story and how God has called her and led her into ministry and here at Vine Church. Before we get into that, I hope you received a bulletin on your way in. If you take it out now, turn to the last page, tear off your connection card, let us know you're here by giving us your name at the top. If you're here for the first time, welcome. Great to have you. If you share contact information, we'll keep you up to date with what's going on here at the Vine. You notice the pumpkins are out there, and you know what that means. Pumpkin Fest is going, and we need Pumpkin Fest helpers. And so if you can help, you'd be a superhero. That's just, you want to be a superhero, sign up, help out at Pumpkin Fest. And not only that, but you'll get your own superhero costume. And everybody that signs up gets a free Here to Serve shirt this morning. So sign up and let us know if you can help. There's millions of shifts. One way to sign up is just on this sheet. Another way is Kimberly will send out a sign-up genius if you put a check on the box. We're desperate. So this morning I'm going to pass around this sheet as soon as I'm done here, and if you've got your calendar with you, you can check out a time. Just let us know if you can help. We want to be praying for Shelly. You guys know Shelly Padilla. She is our secretary in the office, a longtime member here, one of the first baptism here at Vine Church back in 2010. She got hit by a bike on the WNOD this week. And so actually she was supposed to be in the shift this afternoon. So we need special help there. But also be praying for Shelly just for her recovery. She got banged up pretty bad from that. Also want to let you know, this afternoon we're going to have popcorn at Pumpkin Fest. It'll be extra fun. We're doing a carving event next Sunday. If you want to check that out or invite friends to that, there's going to be cards out there, kind of invite cards. And Kimberly started a new small group. It's called Young Adult Small Group. They're having a fun day in a couple weeks. If you know young adults or if you are a young adult or want to participate in something like that, just mark that. Anything else you want to know more about, just put a check in those boxes. Once you've filled out the connection card, you put a prayer request on the back, you can drop that in the offering basket as it goes by later. All right? Good. Kimberly's going to come, and I'm just going to say a quick prayer for her, and she's going to get started, and then I'm going to pass this around. Lord God, thank you for the moments we share together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Kimberly and the way that you have used her already to bless us, to show us your grace, to experience you through her. And we pray this morning that as she speaks, that your words would flow through her, that we might experience you and better understand your call on our lives and what you want to do through our lives through faith. Be with her, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? Enjoying this nice fall weather we have this morning? I just came from Miami a few months ago, and I was ready for fall, and then I woke up this morning and realized I was not ready for fall. So I came in my winter coat because I'm freezing right now. but anyways, I just wanted to start this morning. You know, we've been talking about superheroes, and last week we talked about what makes a superhero. So my question for you this week, and I'm going to give you guys a minute to kind of talk about this amongst yourself, but who is your favorite superhero and why? Go. Talk amongst yourselves. All right, so does anybody have a favorite superhero they want to share and why they are your favorite? Anyone? Yes. Yes. I agree. Wonder Woman. She is my favorite too. So that's great. Anybody else? Just Wonder Woman. She's the best. Is that what we're hearing here? Yes. That's good too. Anyone else? Yes. Batman. Why is Batman your favorite? Yes, yes. And it's also cool that Batman isn't actually super because he has powers, but because he just uses what he has, and he's really smart. So that brings us to another question. What would you say is the one major difference between what makes someone a superhero and a villain? What do you think is the major difference? Serving your own interest? They're content? Okay. What else? Anyone else? Well, last week I was talking with Margaret when we were talking about what makes a superhero. And the thing that really struck me about what makes the difference between a superhero and a villain is how they choose to use their gifts, how they choose to walk through life, how they choose to live. And so looking at that and seeing, you know, do you guys remember the Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire? And he's sitting in the car with Uncle Ben, and Uncle Ben is saying, you know, reminding him, with great power comes great responsibility. I think the thing that separates a superhero from a villain is how they choose to use what they've been given, how they choose to live in their life, and how they choose to walk. And so with that, I would say the way that you choose to walk through life can have a great impact, not just on your future, but also the future of others. The time and gifts that you've been given provide you with opportunities that you can use for good or for harm. And those circumstances that you face in life and the challenges that are ahead of you give you the opportunity to either live by faith or not. And so today we're talking about someone who is a hero in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 that we've been studying through, and his name is Enoch. How many of you guys actually have heard the name Enoch before? Just a few? I'm not surprised because he's only in the Bible in a few passages. But let me just tell you a little bit about who Enoch is. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we see that Enoch is actually the seventh son from Adam. And at 65 years old, he fathered Methuselah, and then walked faithfully with the Lord for 300 years, and then God took him, and he was no more. That is pretty much who Enoch was. We know about three things. He was the seventh son from Adam, he walked faithfully with the Lord for 365 years, and then God took him, and he was no more. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So Enoch was taken because he walked with God in faith. Now, what does that actually look like practically for us? First of all, most of us are never going to live to be 365 years old. But we know that Enoch walked by faith and he pleased God. And, you know, we're here because we either want to know a little bit more about what it takes to please God, or we're striving to please God with our lives. But what does that look like practically? And so I'm going to share a little bit of a faith journey that I've been on. I've been on an incredible adventure over the last few years that has actually brought me here this morning and serving with you guys for the last few months. And so I just want to share a little bit of that story, but it goes back. I'm going to try to keep it short, but my story is kind of always revolving, as most of us are. But about 5 years ago, I was finishing up my master's degree at Liberty University. And I had been working as a janitor to pay my way through school at Liberty. And, you know, I was coming to my graduation in May, and I started freaking out. God, what am I supposed to do? I'm a janitor. Everyone else has good jobs, and I have a master's degree, and I'm a janitor. Like, what's going on? And I had come to this place of just despair. I'd come to this place of kind of contempt. I was a little bit angry and frustrated with God. Why on earth am I here? What am I doing here? There's no purpose. I have this degree that I can't use. I'm just cleaning toilets, pretty much. And in that moment, I started listening to some Christian podcasts and sermons online, and I was challenged with this verse in Colossians 3:17 that says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all for the glory of Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do in word or deed, that means when you're plunging that nasty toilet, you should be doing it for God's glory. And I was like, what? That completely wrecked my life. And I remembered this quote. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I know they're not superheroes, but they might as well be because Lord of the Rings is amazing. But Gandalf was in the Mines of Moria with Frodo, and they're talking. And Gandalf says to Frodo, "All you have to do is decide what to do with the time that's given to you." And so for me, to do everything for the Lord, that meant that I had to choose to walk faithfully, even where I was in a not the best situation. You know, not financially the best, not career-wise the best, but I still had to choose, okay, I'm going to choose to walk faithfully with the Lord because I know his plans are greater than my plans, and I'm going to trust him. And so I said, all right. And that was when I realized that walking faithfully requires devotion, that you're going to be fully devoted to the Lord. You can't just show up every day existing. Just existing is nothing. You're just running on a treadmill, but you're not going anywhere. You're not experiencing the full joy that the Lord has for you. And I was reading in this devotional book by Stephen Furtick called Greater Devotional. And one of the chapters challenged me so much. And it says, you can't keep living like this. It is not fine for you to settle for going every day to a job you'd prefer to quit. I was definitely there. Doing decent work, being a pretty good person compared to your neighbor, paying your bills on time, or at least trying to, and sporadically reading the Bible as though it's your guide to the great things God did in other people's lives. Baseline living is not okay, not for a believer in Jesus. There is a price to pay for Christian complacency. If you keep living on this level, your heart is going to shrivel. It might already be shriveling. Your dreams are going to die, and they may already be on life support. That completely wrecked my life. And I realized that it doesn't matter what I'm doing or where I'm at, but I have to pursue God. I have to know him. I have to be able to trust him. But you can't trust someone that you don't know. And so for me, to be devoted to God meant I had to be devoted in knowing and pursuing God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, it says, "Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." To be wholly devoted means to know the word of God and to hide it in your heart. It's more than just showing up on Sunday. It's more than just reading your Bible maybe once a month or once every other week. It means taking time to know the Savior of the world who loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you could have eternal life. And it's important to know God's word and hide it in your heart because God's word reveals the truth about who God is. It reveals the truth about his faithfulness, his attributes, and it strengthens your faith by giving you confidence to step out in faith because you know the one who you trust. Being devoted also means knowing and hearing God's voice. In John 10:27, we're reminded that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. When you know God, you recognize his voice speaking in your life. Now, fast forward a little bit in my story. So as I was pursuing God and becoming content and serving him as a janitor, God then opened a door for me to move into an academic advising position at Liberty. And so I took that position and was continuing to grow in my faith. That act of following God and devotion doesn't just end when you get something better. It's something that's ongoing. You have to continually seek him and be devoted to him. Just like in a relationship. You don't get married and then say, okay, I'm married, that's the end of it. No, you get up every day and you pursue that person because you love them and you care for them. And so as I was doing that, God started to speak to my heart and challenge me with how he wanted me to use the degree I had just gotten. And that's a whole nother story, but I'll give you a brief overview. But so basically my degree is in worship and in ethnomusicology, which is ethnic music and cultural studies. And I graduated with this degree, and it's really a research degree, but my heart was to be able to use music and missions to help share the gospel of Christ with the world. And so I'm sitting here praying and just, God, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to use this? And God started speaking to me and challenging me with the local church and how we have people from every nation, tribe, and language represented in our communities that show up in our churches. How can we help them engage in worship? And so I started studying and researching this, and I presented it to one of my mentors, who's the dean of the School of Music at Liberty, and he sat down with me and he said, well, this is your doctorate dissertation. And I was like, what? Doctorate? I don't need a doctorate. What do I need a doctorate for? And then he was like, oh, and by the way, there's this church in Miami I want you to connect with. And I was like, Miami, really? That's crazy. Miami? No, I'm comfortable. This is fine. And but in that moment, God just started speaking to my heart and challenging my heart that he wanted me to go to Miami and that he wanted me to pursue multicultural worship in the local church. And the more I was devoted to him, the more I kept hearing him challenge me and call me to this vision. It didn't happen right away, but I was hearing his voice. And as I was hearing his voice, I realized the next step in this adventure was that when God is taking you on an incredible adventure, we're not just experiencing a beautiful love story of knowing and growing in him, but this adventure is where he's challenging us to surrender. Walking by faith requires our surrender. It means being willing to let go of our comfort, of our safe environment, of what we think we're supposed to do, of our sometimes our plans. And walking faithfully means being flexible and available to what he's calling us to do. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Being devoted means walking in devotion and surrender, letting go of every weight of sin and everything that's holding us back from being fully devoted followers of God, going wherever he calls us to go. And when we surrender every part of our hearts and lives to God as fully devoted followers of him, he then moves us beyond complacency and comfort to a place of reckless abandon. Reckless abandon. Now that is a scary concept right there. Surrender, I'd like to think of as, you know, in the moment of, oh, I'm surrendering over, you know, I'm on a weight loss journey, so for me, I'm surrendering over my brownies to God. I'm giving this to you for something better in a practical sense. But reckless abandon is kind of like free falling. And you're like, all right, God, catch me. I'm ready. And I would say that surrender is just another part of the incredible faith adventure that God has. But surrender leads to the scariest part of our incredible journey of faith. And that's when we experience reckless abandon. But reckless abandon enables us to run forward towards the unknown because we know the one who we're running to. We might not know what's along the path. We might not know how that looks or what that's going to mean, but it means that we're running to a God that we know and we can trust because we have that relationship with him. Reckless abandon is only possible by our absolute trust in God that's founded in our relationship with him. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." We have that faith in God because we have assurance in him, because we know him and we're able to trust him. Now for me, what that looked like was 2 years after that conversation that I had with Dr. Whaley, I found myself on a short trip to Miami. And on that trip, I got to visit this church called Christ Fellowship Miami and got to see the vision of this amazing church that I had the privilege to serve in the last couple years. And I decided, you know, I have to be obedient to God. I have to follow God. I know that God wants me in Miami. I know he wants me to do multicultural worship in the local church. I have to live with reckless abandon. So, without a full plan, but knowing that God wanted me to do this, I quit my job. I gave up my apartment in Lynchburg, where I had comfortably lived for 5 years, and said, all right, I'm going to Miami, and I'm going to serve. I'd been communicating with the worship pastor at the church there throughout this whole time and, you know, praying with him and talking about the possibility of coming and doing my doctoral internship at the church. And so I said, all right, I'm going to go. I didn't have a job lined up, but I had been applying for jobs. I still didn't know where I was going to live, how I was going to pay rent, what I was going to do. I had $1,500. And what was in my car, and I picked up and moved to Miami. But what happened was, before the move, 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, my apartment was gone, my job was finished, I'd already finished my last day of work, I got an email from the worship pastor at the church that I was going to go serve in. They had a change of leadership, and he had decided that God wanted him to go to seminary in Chicago. And the new worship pastor coming in didn't have a place for me. And I was like, oh no. Okay, God, what is happening right now? I didn't know what to do, but I was like, you know what, God, I know you want me to go. So I asked him, I was like, well, do you have any other contacts? Can you help connect me with anyone? And they put me in contact with another church that's in Homestead, which is, if you remember Hurricane Andrew, that's where Hurricane Andrew came through a number of years ago. But there was a church there that was a church plant of Christ Fellowship, and I ended up connecting with them, and they took me on for a month-long internship at the church, doing leadership training and serving in their worship ministry. And they housed me while I was looking for a full-time job until I could get my own apartment. And so I ended up moving to Miami and couch surfing for 4 months, which was quite the experience, with $1,500 and just praying that God would provide and trusting in him that he would take care of me, because he had never failed me yet. And what I learned from that is that walking faithfully enables us to risk everything. Your security, your comfort, everything. It enables you to walk in such a way that you're able to risk everything. And it's because you say, wherever you lead me, I will go, because there you will be. And reckless abandon by faith also enables us to be obedient and take action. We're reminded in James chapter 2, verse 17, that faith without works is dead. That means we can say, oh, I trust you, God, I trust you. But if you never act out on our faith, do we really trust God? Are we really trusting him? When we experience the incredible adventure of walking by faith, God will take us to places we never imagined. Things didn't work out how I thought when I went to Miami. And it was a whole nother 6 months before God opened the door for me to get back into Christ Fellowship. Through a series of events and moving and getting a job in downtown Miami, which is about 30 miles from Homestead, which equals about 4 hours in traffic every day just to get to and from work. God opened the door for me to go back to Christ Fellowship, but it was a whole nother year from when I started attending Christ Fellowship before God opened the door for me to serve in the church. And that whole time, I just knew, this is where God wants me. This is what God wants me to do. It's in my heart. I know this. But I didn't know how it was going to look. And as I was waiting, as I was trusting, as I was seeking God, the adventure that he took me on was an opportunity for him to break me of areas of sin in my heart, to break me of different fears, to challenge me, to help me grow up, to be a stronger follower of him, to be more compassionate, to be more understanding. But more than that, he restored me and he strengthened my faith and established me in a way that I never would have imagined possible. So the major point of all of this is that when you walk by faith, God is going to lead you on an incredible adventure. I don't know what that adventure looks like for you. I don't know what plans he has for you. But I know that he has a great adventure in store. I hope it's not as scary as mine, because that was very scary, and I've been through a lot, and I'm sure if you ever sit down and talk with me, you'll hear that that is not the only crazy story I have. But he wants to take you on an incredible adventure, and I just want to encourage you today to be open to hearing where that is and how he wants you to follow him. So let's just take a minute and pray while the band comes up. Father God, we just thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love and mercy in our lives. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to trust you, Lord, and the fact that you always are pursuing us even when we're not pursuing you. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you would just continue to help us rest in you and to trust in you by faith. And Father God, we just come before you right now and we ask that you would help us to surrender, that you would help us to live faithfully with reckless abandon so that we can experience the incredible adventure that you have for us. God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. So if you look on the back of your bulletin, there's in the doggy bag section, there's some questions. But I don't want to just wait until you go home, because sometimes when you go home, things happen. You get in the car and you start thinking about lunch. You start thinking about the work you have to do at home. You start thinking about the laundry, thinking about getting ready for Monday. I think right now we should take a time where you can just respond to the Word of God. Take a moment to respond to what you've heard, to the truth that was spoken through Scripture. What does walking faithfully in reckless abandon look like for you? It's going to look different for every person, but what does that look like for you? Is God calling you to a deeper relationship with Him than you've ever experienced before? Is there something in your life that you need to surrender completely to God? Is there something that God is asking you to trust Him completely on that you haven't trusted Him before? And is there an action in response to what He's calling you to that you need to take to be obedient, to walk faithfully with Him? As you're thinking through those questions, we're going to start singing this song called Forever I Run. And coming back to that idea of reckless abandon, running towards God into the unknown, even though we don't know what the path looks like, because we know the God who's there. We're running to Him despite everything else. And maybe for some of you, that means that your act of reckless abandon right now is to make a move right now. I found sometimes the greatest movement in our hearts requires a physical action. It requires a physical movement as we're surrendering something to God. And so over here, as we're singing, we're gonna have some people over here available for prayer. Feel free to just come and pray on your own. Or if you want to pray with Pastor Todd or someone else that's over here, feel free to come over and just say, hey, can you just pray with me about this? I just need to surrender this to God. Or I think God is calling me to step out in this faith. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe it's just as simple as waking up 30 minutes early every day to grow deeper in your faith through the Word of God. So I just want to invite you now, as you're led, just lay those things down before the cross.